These are the first person singular files. This episode is called Cutting the Grass, written and performed by Peter Halpin.
Ah, yes, there we are. The last of the watering done here. I'm really pleased with these new beds. The bandstand is lovely, of course, ornate and classic, but it had kind of lost its place as a focus point in the park. These are quite a statement feature around it. Definitely no dogs allowed on these plots. I'm not having anything I've put in here dug up and strewn across the path like some kind of massacre. It'd be nice if dog owners were as keen to pick things up as much as the dogs are, but what they leave I use as fertiliser. Only all-natural waste products in my beds. Not a line for the ladies. But whether you agree with my methods or not, what I'm doing is working. I've noticed a lot more people coming to enjoy the area around the bandstand since I made these beds, since I worked myself to the bones to create them, digging and planting, day and night. A bit of water to refresh and replenish myself now, I think. Ah, yes, this is my favourite time of year, without a doubt, as spring transitions into summer. It's sunny and warm, but not swelteringly hot, and my work is starting to grow, bloom, and fill the park with all their spectacular colours, their roots pushing down into the earth below. The grass is becoming a luscious green, and it's being enjoyed as a picnic carpet, a play surface, and to walk on by some barefoot. It's not just a dog's toilet anymore. It is still that, though, which can be funny seeing those barefoot walkers squeeze a poo up between their toes. I suppose that's the thing with this big open space of green, green grass. You can never be sure what's underneath it all. And to think, I started working here against my will. Well, I mean, I wasn't totally against it, but it was hardly my choice. I'd been mucking about after a few glasses of pale ale and a few similarly coloured distilled malt beverages. Okay, I was drunk. We were just on our way home in the early evening, getting back for food to soak up the alcohol. By we, I mean me and my old mate Killer. He's not actually a killer, or even slightly likely to be. He was just unfortunate enough to be called Fred Westley. Poor sod was born several years before that story hit the headlines, so his parents were none the wiser. Obviously, as soon as it was on the news, Fred was assured plenty of attention at school. Our poor history teacher, trying to talk about Cromwell. We jokingly set him up with a girl in the year below. Not the teacher, Fred. She was called Rose. They only flipping well went and got married, didn't they? Fred Westley and Rose Snipes. So even if they went down the double barrel route to avoid being almost namesakes for mass murderers, there'd be Mr. and Mrs. Westley Snipes. They went with Westley, as it goes. Good sense of humour, both of them. So, yeah, me and Killer, on our way to our respective homes, not exactly close to sober, and we passed those old almshouses over there. Well, they're not there now. They were eventually knocked down last week, but just on the other side of those hedges, there was a row of houses. Nobody had lived in them for years. Long story short, I dared us to get inside one of them in search of ghosties. But after a few failed attempts to kick doors in, sending us falling all over the place, and bricks bouncing off windows, like the house was attacking us, I'd just rolled a water butt into place to climb on to get inside, when the walls of the whole house suddenly started flashing blue. A reflection, I realised far too slowly, of the siren on the police car that had pulled up. Killer had reacted a bit better, and, ironically for a man of his name, escaped capture through the back garden across the patio. I was caught, charged, and given community service. My 11 years working at the local newspaper and being on the brink of an opportunity to go for the upcoming editor position evaporated. That future, those ambitions, were put to bed, never to wake up. Having a criminal record was deemed inappropriate for the role, so they told me. As did my fiancée, although she chose slightly different words. She was, and still is, I presume, one of those community police officers that wander about glaring at people as if to say, "I'm watching you," whilst also thinking, "And that's all I'll be doing." A PCSO, a pretend copper sauntering ominously. But despite that, despite losing the two greatest things in my life that I'd invested so much of myself into, now being gone forever, I said it was only me there trying to get into that house. I'm no snitch. There's no way I was grassing up on my mate. They tried doing me for breaking and entering, but I'd only got so far as the breaking, so damaging property was all they could do me for. And so I was ordered to work here, in the park, for 6 weeks. The judge said I needed to show I could make things right and clean things up, and treat the public spaces of this town with due care and respect. Well, it was private property I'd damaged, not public. But I thought it best not to point that out to His Honour, Judge Juddery Jowls. Remember Harold Bishop? He was like him, but much less cuddly and with a wig on. It was a different story with the park's head gardener, though. She was very friendly, right from the off. She never mentioned or asked what I'd done to be there, not once. She showed me the ropes and the other tools. And we both realised quite quickly and unexpectedly that I was a bit of a natural at the job. Fern and I, that's the head gardener, Fern Barrett, became quite a team. She'd been in the role for ages and she made sure all the people in the park knew I was a decent bloke, that I worked hard and was doing great things for the place. I just kept my head down and got on with things. "That's Dale," she'd say. "You might not see him, but you'll see the impact he makes." Couldn't have put it better myself. I've always given every job I've ever had my best effort, great gusto from the off. Start as you mean to go on, I believe. She started me off having me cut the grass, so I made sure I did it absolutely perfectly, working as long as it took. I soon got given other, more skilled jobs with more responsibilities and interest. And when the 6 weeks I was sentenced to concluded, I was given a rolling month-by-month contract. Then, just 3 months on, I was offered the position of assistant head gardener on a permanent basis. I was genuinely thrilled. I wrote to Judge Wobbly Chops to say thank you. He never wrote back. Fern really knew the people of this park. She'd put together a book of notes on all the frequent park visitors, so that when she saw them coming, she could seem like she remembered everything about them and their previous conversations. It made them all feel really special. It was a touch of genius keeping that book, I think. She showed it to me a couple of times, but I was never allowed to touch it, let alone read it, out of respect for its contents, which was fair enough. I speak about Fern and our time working together in the past tense, because I've not seen her, in fact nobody has seen her now, for almost 6 months. It's meant a promotion by proxy for me, which I'm not moaning about. But in the time she's been missing, there have been an extraordinary number of other missing persons in the town. Why are they always referred to as missing persons, not missing people? Anyway, there have been more people go missing around here in the last few months than the whole of any full year on record for the town. But what's really caught the interest in these parts is that they were all, without exception, frequent users of this very park. So guess which Miss Fern Barrett is primal suspect number one? Or whatever the phrase is. There's a nationwide search out for her, so I hear. That's why I'm busy getting these new beds of flowers looking all pristine. I should be home by now, having my tea, but I've got a bit of extra workload, as has been the norm for some time now. There's a vigil here at the bandstand over the weekend, being held for all those currently missing. There'll be songs, prayers, candles, all that usual vigil kind of stuff. I've never been to one myself before, but I'll be there for a while at this one. I've made a couple of floral arrangements to adorn the underside of the roof and some for the railings, so I'll want to get a few shots of those for social media. Hashtag losing my vigilinity. Hashtag bandstanding together. Hashtag look under the bed. I won't use that last one, obviously. I'm not one of those idiots who leaves a deliberate trail of clues behind like I'm in a TV thriller series. All those people coming to stand around this bandstand, admiring the flowers, the newly laid beds. So many have come here in recent months to lay down, to rest. For some, it is now their final resting place. And all those at the vigil will be gathered around them, saying their prayers, sending out their love, lighting their candles. It'll be like one big unintentional community funeral. They'll be unwittingly saying their goodbyes, then go looking for them. Why? Why so many? So, it transpired the person who called the police that drunken night was right here in the park. A frequent walker here at that time of day. They knew nobody should have been at those old almshouses. And, well, I don't know which one it was, do I? So I eliminated them from my inquiries one by one. I carefully tailored each elimination using the handy info in Fern's notebook, wearing her gardening gloves as I did so, of course. I was never allowed to touch it, remember? So best keep it evidence-free. I just need to release that book into the public domain, and it'll be the perfect framing job. Her full hit list, with all the movements and traits of each victim, all laid out like a carefully masterminded plan. I've planted a nice remembrance fern to mark her spot, next to some nice white carnations, classic funeral flora. That old judge told me to make things right and clean up. And I've done just that. There's enough lovely grass that I've sown, tended to, and maintained over this whole park. It didn't need that dirty little grass, whichever one it was, spoiling the ambiance of the place. I'd started as I meant to go on, hadn't I? Cutting the grass. I didn't grass on Fred, did I? And Killer was back home in time for tea. Oh, don't tell anyone you heard any of this. Okay? Cutting the Grass, written and performed by Peter Halpin.